Desire your prayers, the Lord will bless and anoint the word that we have on our hearts this morning. I desire it to be informative and inspired by the Spirit, that it would have an effect upon each and every one of our hearts and lives. I'd like to talk about a concept, an old concept, and an old commandment that the Lord gave His people years and years and years ago. God told the children of Israel to be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. I'd like to speak a little bit on holiness. Seems like it's a forgotten thing. Some people don't see it necessary to live a holy life. But nevertheless, the Word of God still requires it. God still calls for it. Jesus Christ, God sent His Son Jesus into the world, and He was the Holy Son of God. And He is the waymark on our road to heaven this morning. Christ is the waymark. He is the origin or the beginning of holiness. He epitomizes what holiness is. He teaches us not only through His Word, but through the conduct that He manifested and the love that He shared when He was here on earth, that He was a holy God. So really, all we're doing here this morning is we're just going back to the fountainhead, which is Jesus Christ. Holiness. Something or a term that the world doesn't seem to really understand or really care about anymore. But I still believe that God requires His people to live a holy life. His Word hasn't changed. I'd like for us to consider a few scriptures today. First one is found in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 17th and 18th verse. He said, "Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." I believe that God really is asking you and I to live a life that reflects the very nature of God Himself. A life that reflects that nature. A life that will preserve His righteousness in us and thus be an example and a light unto the world that we live in. "Wherefore come out from among them." That's still the message today. A message of separation from all that is wrong, all the false things that are in the world. All the world itself, is the farther that you and I can separate ourselves from the world, the better off we're going to be. The closer to God we're going to be able to live, the more that we separate ourselves. Separating ourselves from actions, from influences, or people that would defile the holy nature of Christ. "Come out from among them," He said, "and be separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." I think about the thing that the Lord told the children of Israel when they got over into Jericho, told them not to touch that thing, and the accursed thing, and Achan went out and he did that, and it had a great effect. It had a great effect upon the whole congregation, upon the success of the battle when they went out to fight against Ai, it had a great effect because God said, don't partake of it. It's the same thing when you go back to the Garden of Eden and you see when God created man at the beginning and he set him and put him in the garden and he said, don't touch that tree. You can eat of every tree in the garden, but leave that tree alone. It's the same concept. Folks, you and I, if we are going to follow God and it's our desire to live holy and righteous before him, we're going to have to separate. We're going to have to be willing to separate ourselves from those things that would defile us in any way, shape, or form. Now you go on and you read the very first verse of the next chapter, seventh chapter, and he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It sounds like there from that reading that you and I have some work to do. Even though the Lord has saved us, even though the Spirit of Christ is dwelling within us, Paul is encouraging us, since we have these promises, he said he'd be a father to us, and you'll be my sons and daughters. But he said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Can I say this morning, Lord, folks, that in you and I working on the cleansing, it is a process. It is a process. It isn't something that happens overnight. Let us cleanse ourselves. Let us continually work on ourselves. And he said, not just the flesh, but of the spirit. What is he saying here? The flesh. All those things or sins that are done against the body, such as fornication, adultery, drunkenness. The Bible speaks of all of those things. The things against the flesh, the things that the flesh will act out on, the things that the flesh will gravitate to in order to be appeased, to make the flesh feel good. We all like our comforts. We all like the things that make us feel good, and there's many things that it's okay to go out and do those things that make you feel good. But the things of the flesh, the things that will destroy the flesh, the things that will cause the flesh to sin, the things that will cause the flesh to do wrong. He said, come out from among those influences. Come out from among those old ways. And he said, cleanse yourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I've been endeavoring. Many of you have been endeavoring to perfect that ever since the Lord saved you. You're working on that. You're working on yourselves. You're working on your mind. You're working on your thoughts. You're working on your attitudes. You're working on your personalities. You're working on your character. We all have those things to deal with in life. But the writer tells us to cleanse ourselves from filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. When I think of the Spirit, I think about when Jesus had his mind set to go, or his face set, the Bible says, to go to Samaria, and how that they treated him, and how the disciples said to the Lord, Lord, would you have us to call fire down from heaven and destroy these people? And the Lord told them this, you don't know what spirit you're of. These men had been following Jesus. They'd been walking with him. They'd seen his miracles. They'd seen his healings. They'd heard his words. And they had heard his doctrines. But yet they did not have the complete understanding yet. God was still working with them and on them. Jesus was still working with them. He's still working with you and I today. But it's up to you and me. Cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Folks, there's things out there in the world today that people are partaking of. Evil things, wicked things. Don't do those things. Stay away from those things. Because the flesh will lead you away from God always. The lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh will lead you away from God. What are spiritual things that we need to cleanse ourselves from? Impure desires, unholy thoughts, polluting imaginations. People just let their minds wander, go run sometimes. And they think about all kinds of things. And the next thing you know when you do that, Bible says over in 2 Corinthians, the God of this world has blinded the minds, didn't he? When you get in his territory, folks, he'll take you and he'll run with that. But I must cleanse myself from all filthiness of the flesh and filthiness of the spirit. You know, I remember a man years and years ago. You talk about lying spirit. He would rather lie than tell you the truth. I had a supervisor one time. When he talked, he actually believed the things that he said, and those of us that were around him knew that he was lying to us when he told us that. He had a lying spirit. He had a spirit that he could not control. And folks, let me tell you something else that's cost God's people some trouble down through the years, and that is unbelief. Get rid of that spirit of unbelief. It was unbelief that got the children of Israel in trouble in the wilderness. And folks, it'll get you and I in trouble today. Cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. You and I that are endeavoring to live for the Lord are to avoid and to abhor or hate evil inclinations and vanities. And when we do that, we will be in less danger of our falling into outward sin. You understand what I'm saying? If we will stay away from those things, avoid those evil inclinations, those times when the enemy, we all find ourselves alone a lot of time through the week. We're all alone. We're alone with our thoughts. We're alone with ourselves, and when we get to thinking, folks, if we're not careful, the enemy will come along and he'll present himself. That's what he did to Eve. And that's what he's always done to us. He will come along and present himself. But let you and I avoid the dangers of falling into outward sin by avoiding those things, by rebuking the enemy. The Bible tells us he gives us power to rebuke the devil. Draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and God will draw nigh unto you. You see, there's a recipe in how you and I can go on to live a life of holiness. I'll tell you, if we work on it that way, the evil propensities or the evil desires of the flesh will be lessened. You'll find that you'll have greater grace and greater strength to be able to overcome in those places that have been weaknesses and battles in your life. You'll find that you'll be able to overcome those things. It speaks here of a cleansing. Lord, help us all when we start out with the Lord and we begin and he begins to work with us, that we go on and get that cleansing till we're clean, till we're pure. The fallen nature of man, along with the corruption of the flesh, is in direct opposition to holiness. The flesh is direct opposition with holiness. The nature of sin, the nature of man is sin. He was born into sin. And I've got a scripture that I want to go to here in a minute. He was born into sin. But it is in direct opposition to holiness. Holiness isn't something that's going to be just natural to you. It's not going to be natural to you because you're in the flesh. And it's something that I have to work on, and I have to get some cleansing. And that cleansing only comes from God Himself and the power of the Holy Spirit working in my heart. Let's look at a scripture found in the Old Testament. Oh, I'm sure you're all familiar with it. I'll tell you what, makes me understand David here. This is the 51st chapter of the book of Psalms. David pleading for mercy from God. No doubt, undoubtedly, it was right after he had done what he did with Bathsheba and sent her husband out into the battle to die. And David schemed those things, didn't he? But one thing about David, and I understand a little more why the Bible says he had a heart after God's own heart. Because every time that he messed up, every time that he was found out, every time that he did wrong, he always put himself in God's hands and said, God, you do what you will. You do what is right, and it'll be just and right. David always did that. Even though he was human like you and I, he messed up a lot. And I can identify with that. But he always put himself in God's hands. He always cried out for mercy from God. And he said, you know, when God gave him three different things that he could do, he said, you choose. You choose. Your way is just. Your way is holy. Your way is right. I'll submit to that, whatever it is that you choose for me in my life. Are we willing to submit to whatever God chooses for us in our life? Sometimes it can get pretty hard, can't it? Sometimes it can get pretty difficult. I'd like to begin here in the 51st chapter in the 5th verse. Because I'm talking about holiness. We don't hear much about it today. But he says in verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. That sin is talking about the sin nature. He was born with the nature to sin against God. Born with the nature to do wrong. Our little children, your little children, some of us, they've been a long time since they've been little, but I'm going to tell you, whenever they were growing up and begin to understand things, you didn't have to teach them how to lie. You didn't have to teach them how to do wrong. You taught them what was right, but instinctively, because of the sin nature, they would go against what you taught them to be right. Same way with you and I today. Cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, because it is the nature of the flesh to do wrong. So get rid of that. Get it purged out by the process that God has designed for you and I to get it purged and to get it out. So he said here, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Then he said, behold. And he's praying to God here. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part. You know, you can hide things from me. You can hide things from your loved ones. But you can't hide them from God. He desires truth in the inward, down near that inner man. God desires that inner man in my thoughts, in my deeds, in my actions, in my words. The Bible talks about every one of those things. And he said here, thou desirest truth. David knew what God desired, didn't he? He knew what God required. And he says, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. The inner man can only be satisfied by one thing, and it's the Spirit of God. It's the only thing that can satisfy the inner man. And yet people are going around all over the place today searching for happiness following dreams, following this, following that, seeing them fall apart, seeing them disappointed, seeing things, destruction coming in their lives. And the only thing, all they're looking for out there, and the only thing that can help them and satisfy them is the Spirit of God coming to the inward man. What happens down there in that inward man? That inward man is the deepest depths of sorrow and remorse. You find someone that is remorseful and so sorry that he sinned against God and sinned against himself. You find someone that is sorrowful and remorseful and asking forgiveness like David was here, and you're going to find someone that's going to be successful in getting victory over his problems, over himself and over the world. The Lord said, come out from among them and be separate. How does God get down into that inward man? The inward parts. How does he get down there? To reach those deep places, folks, here's what God does. And to renew your immortal spirit, God uses your failures and your wrongs. That's what God uses. Failures are not all bad, folks. Failures are stepping stones to success if I handle it correctly. If I do this right. Cleanse yourselves by going to God and asking Him for the mercy. Like David here, he came to God and he asked Him for mercy. Have mercy, that's the first verse. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according unto the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. We need to pray that prayer sometimes. Especially if we're sinners. We need to pray, Lord, have mercy. Blot it out. I can't do this. And we can't do this without you. But to reach that deepest place, down in your bosom, the very recesses of your heart, God will use failures and wrongs that you've done in your life. God uses those things. There is a progressiveness. In other words, it's continual. There's a progressiveness in His dealings with mankind. He doesn't just stop the first day. He doesn't just stop the next day. But God sees down that inward part. He sees what's down there. He's the only one that can see what's down there. And when He reveals that to you, God is going to require your will to act upon that. And He's going to require you and I to get some cleansing done down in that inward part after God reveals it to us. God goes down, down, down until He touches bottom. You've heard me say several times, I'm sure, we live in a very shallow world. People are very shallow in their thinking. They're very shallow in their experience with the Lord. People are very shallow in their relationships and in their marriages. People are shallow today because they have not allowed God to go down, 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 to the deepest places. Remember that song? I think they used to sing it at Monarch. Lord, there's a place in my heart where I'm not willing to go. Folks, when you block, you have a will. And you block God off from those places, you're going to pay for it. You're going to suffer for it. You're the one that's going to have to deal with it. If you haven't been faithful to deal with God as God has dealt with you, you're the one that's going to suffer it. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be next year. But somewhere down through your life, I'm going to tell you, you're the one that's going to have to suffer for that. God wants to go down, folks, right down to where we live. He touches bottom to have things true at the bottom. not just a shallow experience and a shallow relationship, but a working relationship. In order to have a working relationship with God, you've got to allow Him to touch bottom. David reached bottom, and he realized that. He'd reached the bottom. Thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. I believe David really wanted to know God. He really wanted to understand God. He really wanted to understand what God was doing with him. When he gets down to the bottom of things, he can begin to perfect holiness in our lives. When you get to the bottom of it, people come out sometimes and they'll say, well, this is the reason why I did this and that and the other. Now, what's the real reason why you did that, this, that, and the other? What's the real reason? You're not telling it all. They find that in the courtrooms every day. People giving excuses for this and excuses for that, but you're not telling it all. What's the real reason you went out and did that? Did you have some kind of hatred in your heart? Did you do that out of anger? What's the real reason? Did you do it out of lust? All the terrible things that people are doing today. What's the real reason? We let him get down to the bottom of things. And we admit, oh Lord, this is who I am. Lord, I have this thing here that I've been dealing with for years. And I never have gotten victory over it. And the Lord's in his mercy. Do you want him to quit? You want the Lord to quit? You want him to quit working on you? He's trying to get us ready for heaven, folks. But he says perfecting holiness. The Lord wants to perfect that in each and every one of us. When he does that, and he begins to show us things that are down, down, down in the depths of our lives, he will expose professions. People have been making professions for years and they have not had the possession of what they've been claiming. He will expose professions. He will expose the doctrines, the pretensions, the illusions, the deceptions that people have in their hearts. It is important that you and I have a keen spiritual awareness of what he's doing with us. You know, you go to an altar of prayer and you get saved, and that's a wonderful thing. But folks, that's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Now God wants to work perfection of holiness in our lives. He wants, and he does that by going down, down, down to the depths of who we are. And we're all different, and only God in his wisdom, as David's here said, in his wisdom, only he knows how to do it with you and you and you and me. He knows how to do it with each and every one of us. Because his desire is that his people would be holy. Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. I don't want him to quit. But I'll tell you this about God. When you let him get down, down, down in the inward man, he'll meet you with the grace you need to get the victory that you need. He'll meet you with the grace. He'll give you what you need. God doesn't ask us to do anything that we can't do, that he hasn't given us the grace or the strength or the power to do in our lives. Folks, what I'm talking about today, the world doesn't understand these things. I hope we understand that we are serving a holy God. And we are to be the example. We are to be the mirror of who Christ was and who Christ is. And it's holiness. It is holiness in God's people. Truth. People searching for truth. Truth is a major component a major component of his divine nature, isn't it? So the word tells us we are to be takers, partakers of his divine nature. We're to be partakers of his divine nature. Are you living your daily life with the divine nature of Christ? Truth? What's true of himself should be true of his children, shouldn't it? We sing the song, I'm a child of God. What's true of God should be true of us. It's the highest calling there is in the world. It's greater than any president, any king, any other dignitary. To be a child of God is a high calling, folks. And it's not something to be taken lightly or casually, if I can say it that way. Cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. The Bible says, I believe I mentioned it a little bit before, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. But God desires truth in the inward man. The inward man. Have we let him go down to the depths he wants to go down, or that he needs to go down to purify us, to cleanse us, to make us a vessel to honor him? Have we let him? We allow him? Do you know all you got to do is say no to God and he will accept that? Saint or sinner, as God deals with our hearts and God shows us what we need to do and I say, no, I'm not going to do it, God accepts it. He doesn't force his way on any of us. He won't do that because we got a will. And it's left to us to do. What needs to be done? The inward part. He went on to say, verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be whiter, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. And then he said, create in me. We're not able to do that, folks. He asked God to create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. You know, I worked in maintenance for almost 30 years. Was called out on jobs and things weren't working right or things were falling apart. And all I found sometimes is the bolts weren't tightened. The bolts got loose and things just fell off. Really nothing broken. The bolts got loose. The nuts got loose, I should say, and the bolts came out of the holes. Folks, sometimes we need to tighten the bolts. It's not something that, well, I've got it today, so that'll work do me the rest of my life. No. It's a continual working. Continual. We need to tighten the bolts sometimes. Lord, I see I'm getting a little loose here. As God goes down and begins to examine the deep, the inward man, down to the depths of my soul, I want him to do that with me. Doesn't always feel good. It doesn't always make me feel good. It isn't, sometimes it's in the past, it's been ugly. But I've had to say, Lord, do it. Do it. I want to give it to you, Lord. I want the victory because I want to go to heaven. Oh, this flesh is so corrupt, folks. But the Lord wants to go down where there's no more falsehood. And there's no more deception. He wants to go down to the depths of each and every one of our. He wants us to have a grounded, rooted experience. He wants us to have something that's going to stand the test of time. And the Lord in His mercy will continue to work on us that way. I'd like to turn over to Psalms again. 15th chapter. I'll just read it all. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Who's going to dwell there? Who's going to live in your tabernacle? Then he said, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Now, folks, this is, to me, the church. He's talking about the church here, the tabernacle, the place where God dwells. He's talking about the kind of man that's living there. Someone that has a personal purity and a personal integrity and willing to assume and accept the responsibility that has been put on our shoulders when we name the name of Christ and we make a testimony that we are saved, sanctified, whatever that our testimony is, that we have that integrity, that is who we are. And that we do not draw back. In however God deals with us. He's talking about here in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. Folks, you and I, the church, let me say, I want to speak about the church here. The church has been given the right to judge the world in righteousness because God has given us righteousness and purity in our own hearts. Now we have a right to judge people's actions. We have a right to judge people's fruits. By their fruits you know it. But you and I have never been given the right to judge someone's heart. We can't judge someone's heart because we can't see the depths of the inward part. Only God judges the hearts, folks. God is the final judge of all things. Yes, we can say, well, they're living close to the world. They're doing this, they're doing that. And we can judge those things by the righteousness that God has given us. But we can never, and I want to stress that this morning, judge someone's heart. We can't do it. We don't know them well enough. We're not pure enough to judge someone in their hearts. We're working on our own selves. We're working on our own lives. The church has a responsibility, even yet today, of holiness. Holiness. The Apostle Paul, that wrote much about the church, had a great care for the church, and we should too. The church is our mother. Today's Mother's Day. And the church is our mother, folks. She's the one that we look to for nurturing, for strength, for encouragement. She's the one that we need to lift up to this lost and dying world. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ, the church of God. And we all have a personal responsibility to that. And I believe it was mentioned in the Sunday school this morning. First of all, in considering holiness, There's a great need to really see the church that Christ built or that he purchased with his own blood. There's really a great need to see that. And I heard just a little while ago that a lot of folks don't really see. They don't really understand the church. I'd like to read some of the song number 25. I appreciate Brother D.S. Warner's vision. I appreciate the revelation that God gave him back in his day. And it still stands true today. I appreciate the stand that he took for holiness. He took a stand for that. A separation from the world, come out from among them. And then he wrote this song. Church of God, thou spotless virgin. You know, I don't qualify. As a human being, I don't qualify for that. But the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, the Bible says. I don't qualify to come boldly to the throne of grace. I don't qualify to go into that holy of holies and meet God there. But through Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, through my belief, my trust, my hope that I have in him, I am qualified now because God has qualified me. Thou spotless virgin. Doesn't that really bring it close? Doesn't it? Church of Christ for whom he died. Thou hast known no human founder. Jesus bought thee for his bride. Sanctified by God the Father. Built by Jesus Christ the Son. How does God sanctify the church, folks? He goes down, down, down. And I'm going to insert something right here. Camp meeting season is coming on. No matter what camp meeting you go to, if it even be Monarch, the granddaddy of all of our meetings, seems like. Folks, you go there for social reasons, you're going to come home the same way you was when you got there. When you go to those kind of places, and God meets you with his word, you're there for one purpose, and that's to let him go down, 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 right where you live, and maybe right where you're not living, and reveal some things to you, to get a hold of something special from God, folks. That's the reason to go to those places, that God can speak to our hearts and help us to have victory in our lives. Tempered by the Holy Spirit, like the Holy Three in One. Verse 4, God's own holiness. God's own holiness. D.S. Warner. Within thee, his own beauty on thy brow, glorified in his own image. This thy wondrous portion now. Do you realize the heritage that we have this morning? Do you realize what's been handed to you? Lord, help us not to take it for granted. The world is full of deception. It's full of people in church buildings maybe right now. It's full of people that are going to church. But folks, have they allowed God to go down to the depths, the inward parts of the very depths of their souls and work with him? Because if they have, let me tell you, he loves them as much as he loves us. And if they let him go there, he'll do the same thing for you that he does for us, won't he? For them that he does for us. Sure he will. God's own holiness within thee. He's talking about the church. His own beauty on thy brow, glorified in his own image, this thy wondrous portion now. I just wanted us to see that all the way back then, almost 200 years ago, the Lord revealed holiness. Brother D.S. Warner and those of his day, they got a hold of something. They got a hold of this concept that I mentioned at the beginning. This concept and the commandment of God, be holy. How do I be holy? I've been trying to talk about it now for half hour or so. How do I be holy? I let God go in and work His work in me, don't I? The church is so important. Folks, the church works only if there's unity of the Spirit. A unity, a oneness of God's people. That's how it works. You and I need to get a hold of the basic doctrine that the Bible teaches for His people, for the church. We need to get a hold of those things. And we must have a unity of the Spirit because we all are to come to the unity of the faith. That's the church. Have the same understanding, not someone over here saying, well, that may be the way you see it, but that's not the way I see it. There's no unity there. There's no wonder, oneness there, and there's no power when we have those kinds of attitudes in separation from one another. God is looking for a church that trusts in Him, that doesn't lean to their own understanding. I don't hear it from anyone else, seems like, very often. But I do talk about the visible and the invisible church. There's a visible church. You and I are looking at it. We're the church militant, aren't we? We're still fighting in the army of the Lord, fighting against the enemy of our souls, fighting against all that is wrong and all that is evil. And folks, there's a lot of folks. That's all they see. They see this church. Oh, I hear the stories. You hear them too. Oh, I went to Monarch and so-and-so was doing this and so-and-so was doing that and that one over here was doing this and doing that. Folks, let me tell you, that's the visible church. And sin can get into the visible church. Yes, it can. It can get into the visible body, not the visible church. It can get in the visible body. And then you and I look upon that, and people, if that's all they see is the visible body, then many of them get discouraged and they'll go away and maybe never come back again. Those people say they're this and those people say they're that. You've heard them. Because that's all they know is the visible church. Let me tell you something, folks. And we need to get a hold of it. This will get rid of some of this shallowness. See, the visible is the church on earth, but the invisible is the church in heaven. The invisible is the realm where God is. The invisible that works among the visible church is the Holy Spirit. And it's invisible. You don't see the Holy Spirit, but you can see the effects of the Holy Spirit, can't you? We need to be able to see the invisible. Need to be able to get a hold of something. Something that we can lock our fingers into, so to speak. Something that we can grasp and get a hold of. And understand that God is greater than all of this. God is greater than all of that. His power is greater than all of that. Our faith in Him needs to be greater than all of that. If all you see is the visible, you're going to get very discouraged from time to time. May the Lord help us to see that God's bigger than that. I want to see God, as the writer said, high and lifted up on His throne. That's how I want to see God. That's how I see the church. He said, the spotless virgin, church of Christ, for whom He... You've got to be talking about the invisible church. He's got to be talking about what you and I can't see with our natural eyes, but we understand in our spirits, in our hearts, as God has been working with us and revealing things to us and showing us what the purity and the holiness of the church really is. That's what God wants to do for us. That's what God wants to do for each and every one of us. Folks, we're living in desperate times. Truly dedicated people with the power of God is always a conqueror. Always a conqueror. We've got to go forth conquering, folks. When we are in the order of God and in touch with Him, there will never be a time when the enemy can tear us down. Got to stay in touch, don't we? Got to be able to see Him as He really is. In order to do that, we must guard against all fleshly temptations to weaken our resolve and our unity. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to remind you, the devil hates unity. He hates oneness. The oneness of God's people is one of the greatest valuable things that we have. The oneness of God's people, seeing eye to eye. All in, with the Spirit of Christ within our hearts working together against for the common good and the common cause for souls. Must guard against all fleshly temptations that the enemy would use to weaken us, our resolve. We must guard, folks, against discouragement. Have you ever been offended? More than likely you have. I have. But when we were there in prayer this morning, the thought came to me, what's more important to us? The fact that someone offended me or the value of my soul? Folks, you're going to have, Jesus says, it must needs be that offenses are going to come. But what's more important? Am I going to go around and let those offenses cause me to be discouraged and let down and give up? Is that more important than my soul? I don't think so. There isn't anything we have more valuable than our souls, folks. Let's be very strong in the Lord's might and strength. My last scripture that I'd like to read is found in Romans 6th chapter. Eighteenth verse. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield ye your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. He said, cleanse yourselves. Now he's saying, you've got to do the yielding. You've got to yield. Give the Lord the right of way in your heart as He begins to deal with the things that are down in the deep. When He goes down and down and down. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto what? Yeah. Holiness. You have your fruit unto holiness. And the end of all of that is everlasting life. That's what I'm pursuing today, is everlasting life, folks. That's what we're pursuing. That's what we're running after. That's what we're fighting for. God, through His Son, has redeemed the church and exalted the church among all the ages. God's done that. Now it is up to you and I. Christ is back on the throne. You and I, as His ambassadors and as His representatives, do our part to keep the church lifted up and separate from the world. Do our part. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Lord, help us today. I know that a lot of this isn't really very popular today. I don't know altogether whose fault it is. I don't know if we have let down and really staying by the standards of the Bible and what the Bible teaches, but I do know one thing, God still requires it. In Obadiah, the 17th verse, there's only one chapter. It's always been one of my favorite verses. Upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. That's what it says. There shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. Folks, we don't have it in us. None of us have it in us to live this kind of a life. But Christ, God, has it for us. And He doesn't ask us to live a holy life and us not be able to do it. Anything that He requires of us, He has a grace for you and I to do it. May the Lord help us to be faithful, not only to our own post, but to consider what we represent. Who we represent. The church of the living God. As Paul said, it's the pillar and the ground of truth. Lord, help us to lift up that pillar and let our light so shine before men that they may see Christ in our lives. Amen.